1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 17. But in following instructions, I cannot praise you. For it sounds as if more harm than good is done when you meet together. First, I hear that there are division among you when you meet as a church. And to some extent, I believe it. But of course, there must be division among you so that you who have God's approval will be recognized. When you meet together, you are not really interested in the Lord's Supper. Well, some of you hurry to eat your own meal without sharing it with others. As a result, some go hungry while others get drunk. What? Don't you have your own homes for eating and drinking? Or do you really want to disgrace God's church and shame the poor? What am I supposed to say? Do you want me to praise you? Well, I certainly will not praise you for this. For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and said, "This is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup of wine and after supper, saying, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death till he comes again." So anyone who eats this bread and drinks this cup of the Lord unworthily is guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. This is why you should examine yourselves before eating the bread and drinking the wine. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if we would examine ourselves, we would not be judged by God in this way. Yet when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned along with the world. So, my dear brothers and sisters, when you gather for the Lord's Supper, wait for each other. And if you are really hungry, eat at home so you won't bring judgment upon yourselves when you meet together. I give you instructions about the other matters after I arrive. Amen. This do in remembrance of me. As I was indicating earlier, first communion service was a potluck dinner. People were to bring food and share it together. The first church, the early church, was a mixture of people. There were Greeks and there were Jews, there were rich, there were poor, there were Gentiles. It was a mixture of people. It wasn't like some of our churches, all black, all white, all rich, all poor, all middle class, whatever. People were welcome into God's house. And so they were to bring whatever they had. So the rich folk would bring filet mignon, caviar, whatever else they were eating. And they'd bring the best wine. And they would get there early and they would set up this big table. But poor folk would show up and they would bring what they had, chitlins. This ain't in the Bible now. But they would bring what they had to eat. And many of them, they didn't have much to eat. You know, they might not have had the fancy wine. I don't know what they brought. Ripple, I guess. I don't know if that's Ripple. I don't know if that's on TV or whatever. But they would bring what they had. And it was supposed to be a fellowship. And it was supposed to be a dinner that acknowledged what Jesus Christ had done. It was not about just fellowship, and it was about the fact that God had sent his Son in the person of Jesus Christ, and that Jesus Christ had died on the cross for our sins, and they were supposed to remember what God had done in Christ. Amen. So when they got to this church, they came together, and the rich folk sat around the table, rich folk with rich folk, and they were eating, and they were eating all this fancy food and drinking all this fancy wine. And the poor folk would get there, and there was nothing for them to eat because they weren't allowed to sit at the table with the rich folk. So the rich folk would leave full and fat and drunk. And the poor folk would come, and they would be hungry. And for many of them, this was the best meal of the day, of the week, because they hadn't had anything to eat all week. So when they got to church, they were expecting to have a good meal in Jesus' name, and the rich folk wouldn't let them at the table. Look at somebody and say, sound familiar? Y'all know what go on in the kitchen in church? In every black church I ever been to in my life. You know what? People will bring food, and they will hoard it. This is the good cake. We ain't taking this out. We're going to take this store-bought stuff out. But Miss Collins made this. That's the bread. We ain't taking Miss Collins' cake out because it's too good for the common people. Send this home with the deacons and the rev. Look at somebody say, it's wrong. It's God's. When you bring stuff to the kitchen of this church, it ain't yours no more. As soon as you put it on the table, you don't have control over it no more. It's the Lord's stuff. Whenever you give something to the church, whatever you donate to the church, it ain't yours no more. Look at somebody and say, let go. And it'd be a terrible thing to come to church for a good reason, bring some good food, and go to hell because you're selfish. You done all that work. And then you bring it. And so that's what was going on at this first communion. The rich folk would come in and they'd have their food. And the poor folk couldn't get the food. And Paul says, I am not going to praise you for this. If you think there's division, you got cliques in the church. Not only do you have cliques in the church, not only do you have cliques in the choir, not only do you have cliques in the church at large, you got cliques around the communion table. You've gone too far. I will not give you praise for having cliques around the communion table. I don't care if you reverend doctor, I don't care if you deacon, I don't care if you chairman. When you get to this table, you are a sinner. And we all need the grace of God around the communion table. Do I have a witness in the house? Paul says, I'm going to tell you, he says, I'm going to give it to you just like I got it. That's what he says there. Now he says, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. So when you come to the communion table, don't get so high and mighty because you've been blessed more than others. It's about coming together. It's about examining yourself. And that's what I get out of this text, that too many of us examine ourselves, but we examine ourselves to congratulate ourselves. That, you know, I'm better than somebody else. My kids are better than somebody else. I ride better. I live better. But Paul says, when you examine yourself like that, then you are unworthy. what I like about this communion thing. When you examine yourself, if you examine yourself and you find nothing wrong with yourself, you shouldn't have communion. I mean, you come to communion, you know, you got a new suit, you got a new hairdo, and you examine yourself, hey, I'm just perfect. Because usually when we come to the communion table, and sometimes people don't take communion, sometimes the reason they don't take communion is because they look at themselves and their sinfulness, and they say, oh, you know, I've done this and I've done that, you know, and I just know that I'm not fit, I'm not worthy. You're the one that's worthy. But if you come to the table and you say, like, I haven't sinned in the last 15 years. You know, sometimes we come to the table and you say, yeah. Yes, Reb, I used to be the chief among sinners. When I was out there, I've heard people say this. When I was out there in the world, I was in the world. And they brag, yeah. When I was in the world, I was in the world. But now, since I laid my burdens down, I ain't sinned in the last 30 years. Yeah, you're lying right there. Because when you come to this table, when I come to this table, I need to come with a spirit of repentance. And if I don't repent, if I don't ask for forgiveness for how I've messed up, that I am not worthy to have the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. But if I come honestly and repent, saying, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Then I'm worthy. I'm worthy not because of my goodness. I'm worthy because of my heart. And I'm worthy because I know that I need Christ in my life. Text says, it says, but if you examine yourself, here's the other thing about communion. It says yourself. Not everybody else. That man you gave me, that low-down rascal, that woman you gave me, you were examining somebody else. But look, what did our ancestors used to sing that song? It's me, oh Lord. It's me. It's not my mother. It's not my father. I don't know if they said my sister, my brother. It's me, oh Lord. So we would come to this communion table. When you come to the communion table, we need to get the idea. When he says, do this in remembrance of me, what do we need to remember about Christ? What we need to remember more than he died. We need to remember something about how he got to die. We need to remember that he was committed to Christ, to God. We need to remember that he was obedient unto death. Many of us, we are obedient for about 5 minutes, but he was obedient unto death. That he was committed to his Father's mission. I look out, church. I'm looking at this crowd. Y'all are pretty faithful. But we got a bunch in here, and you know, they're the ones who always want something for nothing. They show up about twice a year. Don't give any tithes. I don't know what they're committed to. But it does not appear that they're committed to the church. And if they're committed to the church, it doesn't appear that they're committed to Christ, because the church is what? The bride of Christ. And if you're committed to Christ, you want to love his bride. It doesn't appear. But Christ was committed. He knew what was coming down the road, and he still was committed to his Father, because he was obedient unto death. And not only was he obedient, he was obedient for you and me. He was sinless. It was your sins and my sins that put him on the cross. And he went to the cross anyway. He was obedient unto death because he loved us so much that he gave us a second chance. You and I come to this communion table. It's not about crackers. It's not about grape juice. It's about commitment. It's about sacrifice. He voluntarily gave his life. He voluntarily sacrificed his life. And if we are Christians, we're saying, do this in remembrance of him. And we too will sacrifice something for Jesus Christ and for our brothers and sisters. How sad it is that we live in a generation that's selfish, that want to sacrifice almost nothing. Somebody asked me, you know, people or something, you know. We had a wonderful, wonderful watch night service, New Year's Eve service. And then somebody asked me, well, you know, are we having anything after church? I said, no. And the reason we're not having anything after church is because I can't get anybody to volunteer. Everybody wants the staff to cook and serve and do all of the work. You know, we want to sit down and act. As a family, we went out looking for some place to have breakfast afterwards. Went over to somewhere in Inglewood. They were closed. Ended up at Coach House. They might as well have been closed. Took forever. And then the lady, you know, I'm not patient. I waited a lot. We were like the first four or five in there. It was like black church at the Coach House at 1 o'clock because nowhere else was open, and your white folk don't have New Year's Eve service. And so we were early, and they didn't serve us until an hour later. And then the waitress had the nerve to get a little attitude with me. I had to straighten out. And it's amazing to me, Michael wasn't there, but you know, the kids don't like it when I have to straighten people out. Because then they say, and Michael is a big one at this, you were just impatient. I said, boy, you just like me. You know, it's amazing how communion is about not seeing the other, but communion is about seeing yourself and repenting of your sins. This text says, when you examine yourself, and if you will examine yourself, then you will not be judged. But look at somebody and say, ain't that good news? If I just examine myself and come clean before God, It's like when you're a kid and you know you've done something wrong. If you just fess up to your mom and dad early, usually they will go light on you. But if you lie, I didn't do it. That was Mary. And then you keep on lying. When they got to judge you, they remember not just this individual sin, but they remember stuff from 2 weeks ago. And when I was a boy, you know, when my grandfather was really mad, he used to say, boy, I'm going to beat the black off of you. That meant you were in trouble real. Anybody else had a grandfather, somebody who used to say that kind of crazy stuff? Same thing when we come to Christ. Not that Christ would say anything like that to God, but the point is that when you confess your sins and when you come clean before God in the communion table, that he will not judge you because you have asked for forgiveness and he is faithful to his word. Do I have a witness in the house? He says that if you will confess him, that he will forgive you of all unrighteousness.
communion. Don't come to church. Don't come to communion and act like the folk did at the first communion. They come and eat, or they come. Communion is about having reverence. That's why Mrs. Perry, Deaconess Perry, Deaconess Dow, we're talking about Mother Dow, Deaconess Grignon, those old deaconess, they would go berserk if you dishonored this table. I mean, I think each one of them loved me, but, you know, I was young. And then, first of all, they didn't want you to move the table. I mean, they loved this table so much, they almost didn't want you to breathe on it. But it was about respect. It was about honoring the memory of what Christ had done. And they didn't want to make it a common table. But Christ really has made it a common table. Christ says, bring your brokenness. You don't have to be special to come to this table. Honor what I have done. But you are invited in your broken self to the table. Just because somebody else is a little further up the road than you are, they've acknowledged their brokenness 50 years ago, and you just acknowledging yours today, don't let that stop you. Don't let the appearance of their perfection stop you in your brokenness to approach this table, because there's grace on the table.